All right. Well, it is 10. So, respecting the length of this meeting and everyone's time, I do want to call the meeting to order and acknowledge that even though we are virtual, we are in Mi'kma'ki, the unceded and ancestral territory of the Mi'kmaq people. The agenda has been circulated. Well, I guess we have to start with the election of the, before we do anything, right? The election of the chair and vice chair.
I'm wondering if that can get pushed off until next meeting when we're in person, if everybody would be in agreement, or do we want to do it by Teams?
I'm fine to wait.
I'm fine to wait.
I'm also fine to wait.
Okay, then my recommendation would be to wait.
All right.
Okay.
Can I
Perfect.
have a motion to approve the agenda as circulated? Elspeth, thank you. Oh,
I
sorry.
have one addition, if possible, David.
Yep.
Adding the ECC training expression of interest.
Okay. Under new business.
Yes, please. Well, under it's not actually on our agenda, but it's an added item. We can put it under new
Oh,
business.
down under number 10. Okay. Okay. So,
Thank you.
motion to approve the agenda as amended. Mayor McLean-Wah, seconded by Councillor Newell. All those in favor, say aye or raise your
Aye.
hand if you're on camera. Okay. Those opposed, motion is carried. Thank you. We have the meeting notes from the November 17th meeting. Any errors or omissions with those?
Move
Hearing
they be approved.
you. Thank you. Alan, seconded by Suzanne. All those in favor?
Right.
Those opposed? Motion is carried. I don't see Mark here. So,
Yes, he's here.
Yep.
oh, is
Yes, he
he?
is here. Yep. He's just
Oh,
popped on.
there he's on my second page. Two pages.
Yes.
All right. Well, Mark, welcome. We are down to you. Updated DEM standards.
I'm not live on this meeting, so.
He's gone now.
Oh, yeah, he's still there. Mark, can you hear us?
Yep, I got you.
All right. The floor is yours, my friend. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. As you know, my first opportunity to engage the Remo Committee for Ludenberg County, so close to home and close to my heart. So thanks for the invitation. Remo standards are in their final version. They'll be presented at the Department of Emergency Management forum this coming week in Truro. There's been ongoing meetings since I came on board mid-July over the last 6 months. Engagement with CAOs and emergency management coordinators from each of the regions around the province, from each of the REMOs. Those have been what I would consider very productive discussions, particularly through the CAOs table, the Deputy Minister's Committee that I think was struck back in May of this year. So those standards have been updated and modified with feedback. I know Mayor Mitchell, you had expressed some concerns in correspondence that you had directed to the minister on behalf of the committee back in July, I believe, late July. And I think the minister responded to that correspondence, outlining the objective. Our efforts, my efforts, along with Ryan Doherty's on the call. Ryan is the regional manager for the South Shore. Our objective going forward is to continue open dialogue and communications, and hoping that as we move this forward, everybody will feel included, and that the standards as we see them will be beneficial not only to this group and committee, but the other REMOs around the province. So final discussions this week at the forum, where the Deputy Minister will actually engage the CAOs and EMCs once again.
Are you open to taking some questions?
Absolutely.
I don't know if folks have questions, or Angela, if you have, or okay, Elspeth, yes, thank you.
So is the expectation then that after this week, there'll be finalization of those standards?
That's my understanding, Elspeth, is that they will be.
Do we know, can you refresh my memory? I know one of our concerns was the need to stand up our REMO if a neighboring municipality activated theirs, which seemed like overkill in many situations. Is that still in place, or is that going to change, or has that changed? Maybe I missed that.
No, there would be a sequence of events, and I'll use Long Lake as an example. Annapolis stood up their REOC, municipality of Annapolis stood up their REOC because the fire was physically located in their area. There was no need to stand up any other at that time. At the same time, or on the end of the Long Lake fire, we experienced the Lake George fire. With the sequence of events, Annapolis stood their REOC down as we came to the end of the Long Lake fire. And when we engaged the Lake George fire, Kings County stood their REOC up. So in those circumstances, a single REOC. To your point and to your question, if we had had Long Lake and Lake George mapping over one another at the same time, we would have stood down the Annapolis REOC and stood up the regional REOC. And that would be the coordinating point for each of the two municipalities in those circumstances. So it would be no different on the South Shore if, God forbid, we had a wildfire in Lunenburg County and the fire moved to Queens County. We would stand up the regional REOC versus two municipal REOCs. Hoping that answers your question.
It does. I'm kind of staring at Angela's little picture to make sure that that makes sense, just because I was confused. The way I interpret it, and most likely I'm incorrect, is that if there was, let's call it localized flooding in Liverpool, and they had to stand up their emergency team, that because they're a neighboring municipality to, like, their REMO's neighboring to ours, we also had to stand ours up. That's, I think, how we interpret it, right, Angela?
That was how it was originally written, but we have had some changes since then. I think, Mark, for a point of clarity, if you wouldn't mind, one of the challenges that I would foresee, and I think this probably goes for Lunenburg County as well as other municipalities, is if, for instance, using the example that you provided, that there's a wildfire in Lunenburg and it spreads to Queens, that we have our coordination center open and then Queens opens and then you guys open the regional coordination center, that pulls one of us from our local coordination center leading the actual response over into yours. And if I understand correctly, that's what it have, what the request was in Annapolis. And Brian, who would be my counterpart, had said no, because he obviously needs to be with his staff leading the response. So there could be some challenges with that. We might be able to send somebody, but it would definitely not be myself or Rebecca, because we would be needing to lead the response here with our full team. It would more likely be a liaison officer.
Yeah, those are valid points, Angela. And to Mayor Mitchell's point, we don't want to duplicate and overburden resources. So the intent is, that's the purpose of the six regions around the province. When we have multiple events that engage multiple municipalities, the intent of this process and the standards is to stand up the one regional operations center that the province would have established, so that then resources from each municipalities come into that one REOC. We're not standing up two and three or more municipal emergency operation centers.
Mark? The other, yeah. Mark?
Yeah, thanks. I just want to clarify, maybe I'm misunderstanding. Are we using the term REOC and REMO interchangeably?
Yeah, when Mark Fury was saying REOC for the municipalities, he really meant the EOC or the ECC. The yep. REOC from a provincial perspective would be when it's for a region. So ours individually would be an EOC or an ECC. The provincial regional one would be the REOC.
Okay, but that is the REOC separate from our REMO organization?
Yes, it is. So yeah,
that's what I just want to clarify that.
This is where I have the difficulty with is if we have our ECC open,
yeah.
I and Rebecca will need to be here. And yeah. if the wildfire, using that example, moves into Queens, Queens would probably have their ECC also active for their municipal staff being able to take care of things. No different than the PCC does, and we're activated. But if the regional, so the Region 6 REOC opens, the province, if I understand correctly, is expecting a staff member from Lunenburg, Queens, etc., to be in theirs. So in Annapolis, they had wanted my counterpart, and they said no, because we're needing to lead the response for our whole county. I would foresee that we would only be able to provide a liaison officer.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hearing too, Angela. And I would say, you know, if Mark's concern is about duplication, that is one of the things that jumps out as a potential duplication. But I'm going to be in Truro the next couple of days as well, Mark. So if you're there, I'm sure this discussion will happen. Thanks for the clarification.
Certainly it will, Mark. But this is new to all of us. And the intent of this is to manage resources so that people aren't exhausted and burnt out like we saw in Annapolis. And the transition to the provincial REOC, if there's multiple municipalities involved, really would be the closure of those individual municipal emergency operation centers and the resourcing going to the provincial REOC. But these are discussions we can expand on this week in Truro for those who are participating.
Yeah, because I'm seeing a few head shake that we may not be on the same page on this one, Angela.
Yeah, I would not foresee that if there is a emergency wildfire, as the example, in Lunenburg County, that if the regional emergency Emergency Operations Center for Region 6 opens, that our ECC would be shut down. I just do not foresee that happening because there's a lot that would still be happening municipally that isn't considered provincially, I think. Now, happy to see it work differently. We had REOCs when I was out in Alberta. It was a little bit of a different model and wanting to see how it goes, but I don't foresee us closing our local coordination center because the regional center is open, but I might be mistaken.
And that's a fair observation. One of the things I would suggest, recognizing that these events can be very fluid, the resources that would be delegated to a provincial REOC, in fact, could transition to MODL's REOC, this committee's REOC, for purposes of the provincial REOC. I'm not suggesting that we would physically all move to Liverpool because that's where the regional EOC or the regional REOC is. We could, in fact, use your Emergency Operations Center as that provincial component. So all the resources come to you and support the broader region. As I said, this is a work in progress.
Yeah.
We're going to experience these circumstances going forward. And I'm confident that we'll be able to work through any of these challenges.
It sounds to me like the province is going to end up taking over the response for these activities then. And the REMO, as we know it, that where Angela and Rebecca live and work, will be more involved with preparedness. That's what the separation feels like based on what I just heard. But again, yeah, I'm looking forward to find out more.
Yeah, it's not the province taking over, it's the province supporting when circumstances go beyond municipal boundaries, or in some cases in smaller municipalities beyond the capacity and ability of that municipality. It is a supporting role and a coordinating role.
Elspeth?
I think the issue becomes the way the standard is written now. It really doesn't reflect what you've said, Mark Fury. So it's the detail and nuance of, I think, the issues that have been raised isn't reflected in how that standard is written. And that, I think, is posing the most concern to those of us who are working at the municipal level. So.
No, I appreciate that, Elspeth. I'll take these points back to the department for further discussion, and we'll be able to elaborate and provide clarity on this in Truro. And for those who aren't attending Truro, we'll be able to communicate this back not only to this committee, but to the other remote committees around the province.
Braden?
This may be a question for Angela. This might end up being towards you, Mark, but there was initially some discussions or concern about activating virtually versus in person. Has that been addressed, or do we still have some lingering concerns around that?
I recall that discussion, Braden, at one of the CAO table deputy minister committee meetings. And I think the general outcome of that discussion was that we could be faced with circumstances that prevent people from physically getting to a REOC or an EOC at the municipal level. So I saw a hybrid model coming out of that, where it could be in person or virtual. Circumstances at the time will determine people's ability to physically be present.
I don't know if it was the, just want to follow up on Braden's point, and maybe Angela can jump in. So I know, Rachel, you're next, but it was a little bit different than the physical being in person, right? It was the level of activation.
Well, wasn't it like the mandatory that we had to be in person? Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, originally, early on in the standards, it was if the province, if there's something regional and the regional EOC was to activate, all municipalities in that region would have to activate. We've pushed back on that ourselves as well as the CAO table, and it has been adjusted down to what Mark Fury has just indicated. And so it can be in person or virtual. And then to answer, I think it might have been Elspeth's question, somebody's question earlier on, we would only be needing to be there if it affects us, whereas earlier standards kind of said if the REOC regionally is activated, then we would be needing to activate as well.
Okay, thank you. Rachel?
Yes, hi, thanks. Just a question of process, where we are now and what's supposed to happen next. The copy that we received of the standards, then am I to understand that has already been amended to a certain extent, and then this upcoming meeting in Truro is an opportunity to have a further kind of roundtable discussion and input to the determination of a final document? Is that what's happening?
I don't know which version you're working from, Rachel.
The November 28th, the latest version that we received. I think it was November 28th. Yeah.
That's the same version I have. So my understanding is there's been feedback on this document. This is the final draft, and it's the intention to introduce this in Truro as the final document and the standards that will be enacted going forward. Ryan, feel free to inject on that point if you wish.
Yeah, if I may, and just to back up and introduce myself, Hey everybody, and thank you so much for the invitation here. Here with Mark from the department. So I started in this role as a regional operations manager for Region 6, which includes yourself, Queens, Shelburne, and Yarmouth. So I've been here since, I think day one was the Long Lake fires, and we were basically told, okay, hop in the vehicle and go down to support the municipality and the incident management team with the wildland fire. I was previously with the older emergency management office as the training and exercise officer, and I'm very excited and eager to really dive into this role. And I will say with the standards, I'm here as a resource for questions after this meeting and moving forward. So communicating with Angela with any of your concerns, and readily available for any questions at that as well. And we'll be at Truro as well. And I look forward to working alongside you folks and everyone else in the region. So yeah, that's me, and I'm super excited to be here and help with any of these concerns or questions for the standards moving forward.
Thanks, Ryan. Other questions? Before we let you go, Mark, we have another topic on our agenda about Kings County. As I'm sure you're aware, they have announced that they will not be accepting hazardous materials from municipalities outside of Kings. And I don't know if you have anything you can share on that one, or Angela, if you have a little bit more you want to touch on before Mark answers.
Yeah, this would be the hazmat responses that Kings County used to support for Western Nova Scotia. And so they have suspended their service. And we had seen via the minutes of the CAO table at the last meeting that there's apparently an agreement in place with Halifax. However, a colleague of ours spoke to somebody in Halifax and they said that there wasn't an agreement. So we're just curious if you can provide some information with regard to the hazmat suspension and if the province has anything in place or is looking at service for this end of the province.
Yes, so a couple of points. December 19th was the effective date of that change in service. We reached out to Bill Moore, who's the public safety commissioner at HRM. Bill spoke at that CAO meeting. I don't have the date. And he committed to HRM supporting hazmat calls in all of southwestern Nova Scotia. So that was a short-term fix. We obviously have concerns about response time. If it was Yarmouth, as an example, it's at least a two-hour response. So subsequent to that, we're actually working with Kings County now, having discussions of what it would take to reinstate that southwestern service. So that work is ongoing as we speak. This has been top of mind for the deputy and the minister. I briefed the minister on these circumstances a couple of weeks ago, and we're committed to finding a solution. That work is in progress, and the short-term response, as you said, Angela, is HRM. Hoping to have some good news in the not-too-distant future.
Great.
Suzanne.
Hi. I don't know how much this would affect Remo, and that's part of my curiosity. Where does the Nova Scotia Guard come in? Is it going to be regional? Is it going to be an asset to Remo? There are so many questions about the role of Nova Scotia Guard. I understand they have some people who've taken up volunteering for it. So can you fill in any blanks?
So the Nova Scotia Guard is a supporting resource to provincial emergency management in each of the six regions. And this is being built out at the same time we build out and stand up these regional offices. They've been utilized in the Jack and Lily search in Pictou County. That was the first call out that they participated in. And from that call out, we saw a need to provide clarity to their role. They were called out in both Long Lake and Lake George, fulfilling various responsibilities in support of regional operations. The volunteer list is provincial, Suzanne, but obviously geographical responses. So people from Southwest Nova, volunteers within the Guard from Southwest Nova responded to Long Lake. There was a broader response in Cumberland, Colchester, Pictou County to the Jack and Lily search. But their primary role will be one supporting the roles and responsibilities of emergency management at the regional level.
Does that answer your question, Suzanne, there?
For process purposes, I might just fill in a piece that might help Suzanne. So when REMO is activated, or if we feel like that we need support, we can put a request for assistance up to the province. And then that's how the province would help determine whether it's Nova Scotia Guard or something else. They will help assign people down to us if needed. So we have that availability to us via a request for assistance up to the province.
Okay, but can we as single municipalities request them, or are they always through REMO?
So they're activated and utilized in, I'll use the term emergency situations. That's the intent. There's some flexibility to that, obviously. But if there was a need, to Angela's point, the process is a request through the REMO, the request for action or for request for assistance, the RFAs that she referred to, that actually come into the Provincial Coordination Center. And then from the Provincial Coordination Center, those assets would be secured for your purpose. But if there was a need in Mahone Bay, I anticipate it would come through the REMO, through Angela, into the Provincial Coordination Center.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Other questions? All right. Hearing none. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Ryan, for joining us. Appreciate that. I don't know if you had anything else to add.
Just hoping that we see some of you in Truro this week. I know the deputy minister's very committed to strong communications with municipalities around emergency management. That was her purpose in standing up the CAO table. There is a standing committee as well. With regards to the EMCs, there's a regional EMC committee, and we're in the process of working towards a provincial Emergency Management Advisory Committee. So as I said in my early comments, we continue to build out the regional components of emergency management within the province. And these relationships are going to be critical as we do that. Ryan is your go-to regional ops manager for Region 6. And I'm in regular contact with Ryan, as I am with the other five regional managers. So I'm encouraged by the discussions we're having with the CAOs and the emergency management coordinators in the municipalities. And although things may not be perfect as we speak, there's a tremendous amount of flexibility and willingness to adapt to ensure that the model we're presenting works for everybody. So I look forward to the continued discussions.
Thanks, Mark. All right, thank you both for joining us. And Ryan, I don't know if you had something to add there.
No much more to add, but available for any questions after the meeting. I don't know if you'd like me to stick on for or to carry on with the meeting, or I can jump off.
I think our agenda is pretty straightforward. Angela, I don't know if you have anything else that Ryan would...
There's in number 7, if you have any DEM updates, now would be a great time, and then probably pop off, because the rest of it will all just be budget and all of that fun stuff.
Okay. apart from the other, like the forum this week, any other department updates? I think Mark covered the big piece on this, the REMO standard. So again, available for any questions afterwards through yourself, Angela. I'm very excited to be living down here now too, over inside of Bridgewater. So I am handy and available. So
excellent. Thank you.
Nice to meet you all.
You as well. Thank you both for your time today. Appreciate it. And I'm sure you'll see a few folks from this call intro.
Weather. Thank permitted. You.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Take all. Care.
All right. Continuing. I don't know if anyone else had any questions now that. There you go. We're good. Okay. Down to 5.2 governance documents for partner councils review.
Yeah, 4.2 governance. So this is just a follow up from the last meeting. Several of the councils have taken it back. We're just waiting for the final documents to come back, and then we will take it for legal review. So it's just, it'll be on the agenda next time until we have all of them come back. So just that quick update on that.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions? Rachel.
Rachel.
Sorry, it wasn't a question on that, but I didn't get my hand up in time to comment earlier, to ask earlier. There were two big questions in my mind when I reviewed that standards document, I wasn't sure when it was appropriate to raise them, but it's one was about the alerts and the concerns about the alerts and cell service and the you know, just the general concern that there's full reach when these alerts through all the various channels. And I just wasn't, I just didn't have a level of comfort that we understood what that, or I don't have a level of comfort as to what that is. So I wasn't sure, you know, how our professionals, you know, staff felt about that. And if there was need to get to kind of raise the an alert about the alert the ability of the alerts.
So
that was one. Yeah,
I can comment on that. So we use the national alert system called Alert Ready, and it is meant for people who have 5G or higher. One of the challenges that was being experienced, especially in rural Nova Scotia, if people had their phones set to Wi-Fi calling, the alert was not guaranteed to come to them. It also automatically triggers onto radio and television if it is a critical alert. Since I want to say approximately November, but it's actually probably before that. My date is mixed up in my head, but the province has since rolled out something called Nova Scotia Alert App. And it's a downloadable app, which is meant to cover off those individuals who potentially wouldn't get the alert ready. And it now can cover off. So the majority of people within the province, if they have a smartphone and it's downloaded, they should be able to get the alerts through either or both of those channels. I have the alert downloaded and I get them as well as when I get the alertable app. So most residents we're hearing are getting them in these two formats. There still will be some in catchment areas and things like that don't. So our recommendation would be download the Nova Scotia Alert app. In addition, people will be able to get the alert through Alert Ready if we send it. And those two apps automatically sync. There's nothing for us to do in the background. It's automatically synced. It follows the Alberta model, and they've been using it for years and years. So it's the exact same company who supports Alert Ready has created the app that's syncable to it.
Okay, just if I may follow up to that. So
absolutely.
So just to understand, that may require some education, public education around the need for folks who may not you know.
Yes. So that's one area that we have asked the province to roll out. When they rolled it out, in all honesty, they didn't even send it to the EMCs. We saw it on Facebook. So we have requested that they do some more training. We will be asking again for awareness. The conference that Mark was talking about is this coming week. And it was supposed to be starting tomorrow afternoon for the EMCs. And we were supposed to have a whole afternoon on just the alerts. And they've moved that. So we don't have a date as to when it's been rescheduled for, nor do we even know what was going to be in it, in all honesty. I suspect that they're going to be teaching us how to be able to do the alerts and to get into the system, but we know nothing about it other than it was supposed to be the alerts. So we locally have also been sharing when we have outreach and things like that to residents about the alert, Nova Scotia Alert app, and we're hoping that the province does start to do some rollout. In addition to Ryan, from a regional perspective, they also have just recently hired a outreach officer, and that outreach officer will be taking care of some of those things at public events and doing some awareness. So we keep getting told we're only a year in, so give us time, although a year we should be starting to roll. So we're hoping that things will start progressing. But Rachel, we're in complete agreement that they need to do some education for people. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And the other, bigger concern for me or questions was around the Vulnerable Persons Registry. And I wasn't sure there was an appendix about that, but kind of who's responsible and how is that sort of clear in your mind, even though it's
not at all. So they have very openly announced to us at some of our previous meetings that although the Vulnerable Persons Registry is in the standards, they have not rolled out any standards for that aspect of the standards. It will probably be another year before that rolls out. There has been discussion, as I understand it, at the CAO table. So once it rolls out, there will be a requirement that all REMOs participate in something, but there's no standard at this point for that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Amy?
In progress.
Yes. Thanks.
Jamie, over to you.
My problem is with all these notifications and alerts, what do you do when a third or two-thirds of your Southwest Nova Scotia doesn't have internet or cell phone coverage, depending where you live? And then I'm not talking north of the 103 here. I'm talking like between here and between my town and Bridgewater, for example, there's no cell phone coverage. I'm actually in the one room of my house that I can get internet and cell phone coverage clearly, and I live 7 doors down from the hospital. So has the province actually taken that serious, with all you hear is the great progress they're making on cell phone and internet service? And I think they're living in the false sense of reality, because it certainly isn't improving down our way whatsoever. In fact, if you have certain providers, you don't have anything almost between here and Bridgewater. And if you go from here to Halifax, you drop it about 4 or 5 times on the 103 now. So I don't know what they're doing with that, but we're really having people living in certain areas of our region that are cut off from the world when landlines don't work or power is off, for example. So
the only thing that I can say to it is I don't know if they're realizing that outside of HRM, we still have the issues. I can say that when there's a critical alert and it is sent via the Alert Ready system, which all of them initiate there, it automatically is also connected and pulled onto all TV and radio. So if either of those two are on, people are also going to get it. Also, we do expect that there is shared information through friends and family. So if somebody gets it, generally speaking, it starts filtering out, because people are like, did you hear that such and such is going on? We share if it's anything local for us. us. We also have our radio partner that we share with. So, and again, it automatically pulls into their system via the CRTC. So it's a standard that's built right into the system. But I hear your point to there are still people not getting it. The app was one of the ways to try to get it because it'll come up as a notification on it. And that's really all I can say until we learn a bit more about it as well.
I just think that, you know, pushing the emergency side of the importance of cell phone and internet coverage in this end of the province is the way we should try to approach this moving forward. You know, convenience and inconvenience and the fact that people can't work north of the 103 in certain areas remotely because of it is one thing. It's a serious problem, but I think we're going to have a serious problem on our hands one of these storms. And maybe if we push that part of it a bit more, they might put a bit more emphasis with the companies to improve their service. Like I said, it's gotten worse since the original start of cell phones 25 years ago. You could actually call on the old highway to Bridgewater somebody. Now you can't. So, and like I said, I'm in my office, and it's the only room in my house that I get full internet and cell phone coverage in. So it's bizarre.
Agreed. Suzanne. Yeah. You're muted there, Suzanne.
I'm not sure if this falls with what I should have asked Mark, but I was trying to find on the PDF where my notes and my and the document under updates DEM standards. There's floods, hurricanes, severe winter storms, etc. I'm just wondering, there's nothing about isolation, and we have places like Blue Rocks, Corcoran's Island. I'm sure there are a couple in Chester that people are totally cut off. And why isn't isolation in that group?
You'll also note that drought is no longer on the group, on the list. So these are ones that the province is dictating to us that we need to, at a minimum, have contingency plans for. We can add other things to it. And so as we start going through all of our contingency plans and writing them, we'll be looking at what else needs to get added. So as an example, they provided bottled water for municipalities to pass out during this drought this year. And since then, they've taken it off the list because they do not feel that it's an emergency situation anymore. So it really is dependent upon who's writing the standards and their opinion of it. It is how I see it.
Okay, but in our own REMO, I guess markers in our in ours. Is isolation part of ours too? Because we do have areas that are completely cut off.
Yep.
And we have islands, for example, where people are living on islands. You know, we do off Mahone Bay. It's not Mahone Bay. It falls under modal, but I'm just concerned about our, to me, you know, even in 2026, we do have communities that are cut off in bad weather.
Alex, is it your hand wanting to chime in on that one? Or
So we have our own set of contingency plans, and our REMO staff have a process to go over them. And some of the factors that do get considered under our threats are how those threats impact us. So as you're pointing out, like Blue Rocks does get isolated. Those things are identified in our contingency plans. We do have to recognize that sometimes our ability to influence that is limited to simply advocating to the province, because it's a provincial road that's the one way in and out to Blue Rocks. And so if there's a washout from a hurricane storm surge, or if there's an intense snowstorm and they're not able to plow the road, our ability to influence that is only through prioritizing that issue with the Emergency Coordination Center at the provincial level. But our plans do address those things. And certainly I know from experience, staff that are involved in the Emergency Coordination Center focus on those areas that are more vulnerable. So I know at certain points, Strum Island off of just out of the harbor of Mahone Bay, there was an extended freezing period a couple of years back, and we had to do some extra work to make sure that they were able to shelter in place because they weren't able to use their normal transportation methods. So even when it's not specifically highlighted in the plans, I've witnessed times where our REMO staff have gone above and beyond to make sure that we're not leaving vulnerable residents out there on their own.
Okay, thank you.
Jamie?
Yeah, this is probably a question I should have asked Mark, but did the province, when they come up with these rules and guidelines, did they actually go outside the HRM area and talk to other people around the province? Because I don't think they realize, for example, that, you know, in our area, if there's an emergency here, our residents aren't going to be very happy if we're in Queens, for example, working, like they gave an example. And everything they sort of seem to come up with is more urban center based for rules and things. So I just wonder, I know Mark lives in our riding. Did they actually come down here and talk to anyone outside HRM, or is this like the new HRM legislation and we'll have to all deal with it?
All we've really been told is everything was raised at the CAO table and the CAOs have given guidance. So that's really the only information that we've been told. And Tom's on the CAO table, so he's got his hand, so he can probably comment better than I.
Tom?
Yeah, oh, thank you, David. So we did bring that up at the CAO advisor table. There were a number of CAOs of rural municipal units. And it was brought up in the REMO context, the fire services context, the EHS context, police services. So there was a, it seemed to be almost a theme that a lot of the standards were more reflective of urban requirements, and even to some extent more focused on town type requirements than rural municipalities. So they did make some adjustments and changes. But the if you look through the REMO standards, there's a number of appendices that still have to be completed, and that's where a lot of the work still has to be done. It's be similar to the regulations for the Fire Modernization Act. So on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, there'll be ongoing discussions. I'm not convinced that they're going to have a final version by the end of day Thursday. I know that there's a number of points that were made by CAOs that didn't make their way into the standards, and it's still a bit unclear, as I think maybe Elsbeth pointed out earlier. The way they have the standards set up doesn't reflect the way they're explaining them to us, and that's been the case all along. They seem to have a vision, and they've got a document, but the document isn't as clear as the vision that they're repeatedly giving us. So I think it's overly ambitious for them to think they're going to have a final version in 2 days or 3 days, because they give us an opportunity. But the CAO advisory table, the first couple of meetings, it was more just here's a bunch of information. And then we broke for a while and then came back and had discussion, and then they provided us more information, but it's not really in advance. So we only got it like the day or two before the meeting. We had a lot of discussion, and they're throwing everything in. So at these meetings, it's not just REMO meetings, like the fire services review, EHS, police, ground search and rescue, the alert standard, the vulnerability registry. These are all discussed during an afternoon. And so you can appreciate that none of it is incredibly detailed. And they keep changing the agenda for this week. So they had an original agenda and it was laid out, then they changed it, then they changed it again. So we'll be able to update you with more, but you can have some faith that these issues are being brought up, and they continue to be brought up. And our hope is that they won't finalize the standards until there's general consensus among the larger group that they're going to work.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for that. Anyone else on the on this topic? Okay, we're moving on to generator suitability for Forest Heights and NSCC. Angela, you're muted there.
Sorry, I just realized. Okay, no so this is just on until I can get it sorted. This is to determine if the generators that have been offered to us from Shoreham and MODL will work in other places. So it'll be up at the next meeting. I don't have an answer yet.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
We already discussed the Kings County hazmat. I don't know if anyone had any additional questions on that one, but I think that was discussed. So we're, Braden, yep.
Yeah, I mean, just how often were we relying on that service in the past? And I guess, well, since we're virtual, what is the difference? Because they're also, for their locality, for the municipality, they're lowering their level of service, right, from responding from one level of incident to another level. So just help me understand what's the difference between those levels of service.
So I don't know them off the completely off the top of my head, but they're different. And Bruce, you might be able to help me out. They're different with regard to if it's a cardiac versus all medical versus accidents on the highway and things. So those are the different levels of services that they have. So they, each fire department can go into different levels of service as they need to. And then with regard to the question of how often we use it, I believe since I've been here 6.5 years, it's been 2 that I can recall, maybe, let's say a handful, let's say 5. So in approximately, I believe it was in 2023, we had 2 within a 2-week period, which was really unheard of. We had the one at the Bridgewater Hotel that was an overnight incident. And then the following few days, there was a propane issue. I believe it was propane at the Superstore. So it's very infrequent, which is why many of the fire departments locally have chosen not to create their own team here. It costs an extreme amount of money to do hazmat, including getting people trained up. That means some firefighters have to be on another team, making sure that the gear and that they're continually trained. So it's an extremely expensive venture. Ideally, if what Mark is sharing with regard to potentially reinstating it to support us, that would probably be the best. It will be much cheaper for us to be able to support or the province to support. And we had been in hoping to be in preliminary discussions. We had heard for the last year that this was potentially coming down the pike. And so we were trying to work with them to say, if we were to support locally, will you keep the service? But they didn't even entertain the conversation, which meant they were well on their way. So at least the province is having that conversation now on, in support of it. So hopefully they'll be able to reinstate it. We recognize it's still going to be about 1.5 hours. In the Bridgewater Hotel incident, we ended up having to get a second hazmat team. So at Truro, because they have different readings and different aspects that they can move into, because the first team wasn't able to get the proper readings for it. So it was a longer incident.
And so if I understand you, we currently, or at least previously, weren't supporting them financially. This was just a service they were providing through mutual aid.
Correct.
And then we offered, hey, well, we would love, like, can we pay you to keep this service?
Well,
like, can we support this somehow? And they didn't want to entertain that.
We had discussed it here through myself and through Bruce, and he was starting to try to have those conversations, but they were well on their way. So it wasn't being entertained because the decision was already made. So it wasn't anybody's fault. It was just timing that it was already, you know, in progress. So by the time we came to the table trying to even see if there was a possibility, the decision had already been well made, because we found out about it probably 1 month after, like, the official. So it would have gone through all of the councils and everything like that as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions on that? We're down to vision statement review.
Yeah, so that there is something, we actually don't have a vision statement for Remo, and so we have put together a draft, and would like people's opinion. And if so, we would start putting this onto the website, but also when we do engagements with others, just to kind of have a bit of an engagement and vision for Remo. So that's what that is. And if so, a motion to move it or as presented or decline it or amend it.
What is the wish of the group? Looking for some direction here.
I am happy to move if there are no other comments.
Okay. Moving. Alan, is that you seconding that? you muted, but I can read what your lips are saying. All right. Is there any other discussion? Hearing Rachel, yep.
Yeah, sorry. being virtual, I'm just trying to find it, sadly. So I don't want to vote against it or for it if I don't recall or if I don't have it in front of me. So if could just give me a minute, that would be great.
I can flash it up on the screen as well. Just give me 1 second.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, thanks. No problem.
Which this does kind of raise a question that I was thinking as we were kind of going through, because I'm trying to get to the documents and scroll to the top of the agenda and get to the documents. If there's a way to do it, certainly how we do it at council, and maybe it's too much work, is each of those agenda topics is a link that if you click the link, it takes you to the document. Because it is like scrolling up and down and up and down.
So. Yeah, we can absolutely do that.
That's fine with me, David. No problem.
Awesome. Thank you. So, yeah, let's. For those who
is
haven't.
Is that large enough?
Take a look. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So it's that Remo and the 5 municipal units in coordinating effective emergency management through hazard mitigation, comprehensive planning and preparedness, and unified response and recovery efforts. Lunenburg Remo works closely with first responders, community organizations, businesses, and residents to ensure a clear and shared understanding of emergency roles and responsibilities. Through public outreach and education, Lunenburg Remo promotes emergency awareness, readiness, and community resilience. Dedicated to continuous improvement, Lunenburg Remo advances a strong and collaborative emergency management culture among its municipal members and regional partners.
Thank you. So, any questions or comments on that? We have a mover and a seconder. Seeing any, all those in favor? Signify by saying aye or raising your hand. Contrary minded? None. Passed. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And we are down to budget presentation, the fun part. Not for our day. So, Angela, I don't know if this is you or Alex or who is walking us through.
It's me. Can you see the year in review on the screen?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So I'm just going to kind of go through just in recognizing that we're already at 11. So I'll go through. These are some of the things that have kind of gone through in the past fiscal year, as well as I've included numbers that are already booked for things up until March 31st. So for training and exercising, we've had 13 training sessions internally, as well as some with Department of Emergency Management, and then a total of 10 exercises that we've participated in. We've had 41 variety of stakeholder meetings with multiple organizations in all capacities, municipal, provincial, federal, long-term care, and volunteer organizations. We've done 13 presentation and outreach with a variety of organizations within our 5 municipalities. And then activations this year, we've had the Bonnie Lee Farm, Shoreham Village, the Drowned and Missing Person, Annapolis Long Lake Fires, the Drought and Dry Wells, and then a Rain and High Winds. And I guess I could add the last week's storm and this week's storm as well. and newsletters, we've done 4 quarterly newsletters. So that's a little bit of what we've done over the past year. I think the big thing to note is we've had a lot of new meetings this year that have not ever had this many, specifically with regard to governance internally to REMO, as well as the Department of Emergency Management with regard to the REMO standards, the Fire Services Review. GSAR is coming out and they're starting to roll out the threat hazards. So in addition to those meetings this year, we can expect that they're going to be several in the coming years as well. We've hired on a new staff person. We've got a new CAO into, actually, I think we're increasing for AECs. Also to note, and I've got it in my notes, we've had a lot of changes with regard to the communications team. We've lost Pat and Sarah. We've got some changeover. And so we're in the throes of trying to get the communications team up and running as smoothly as it was so that we can continue keeping residents aware of what's going on. And then Chester has just posted their community readiness coordinator. So hopefully by the end of the fiscal, we'll have them up and running as well, in addition to Rebecca. So that's the year in review. And so before I go into the work plan, I'll pause to see if anybody has any questions on that.
Seeing none.
Okay. So we were then asked to also look at a three-year work plan. So this was fairly well presented when we put together the request for proposal to hire the new staff person for Rebecca, as well as in discussions when we were looking at the 33% for Chester's individual to provide 33% back to us. So there's been some adjustments to that, but otherwise we've kept it and extended it for the year. So we're committing to 10 trainings and 2 exercises in 2026. I'll just look at this main column for now. We're going to do social media, have a minimum of 48 posts per year, 4 newsletters, 12 outreach and public presentations, and then we're doing the expo this year. Engagement hours, we're committing to 100 engagement hours. We'll do 2 Be Ready trainings, continue working through after action items. These would either be existing ones or looking forward to ones that have come up through existing responses. For the emergency management plan, we're really awaiting standards and when they actually are rolling it out before we kind of commit to a number, but we're continually looking at what their standards are and working toward that. We're committed to updating at least 3 contingency plans this year based on the provincial standards. We have completed the communications plan. Right before Sarah left, we took a deep dive into it just to get everybody's perspective on it. So that's actually nicely completed. And then we'll continue doing on working on activation. So that's kind of this year. And then the future 2 years is also indicated. Other things that were listed from past budgets that we're in discussion with, but we have paused until we get direction, is the generator, shelter generator. So this item is linked to 4.3 as well, with regard to determining if the new generators have been offered to us on donation that we can repurpose. The volunteer roster and the vulnerable persons is waiting on DEM standards, and the evacuation routes was decided that it's going to be led by the units, not REMO. So that's based on the work plan as well as discussions from the previous budget. Any questions on that before we move into the actual budget presentation?
Questions, folks? Rachel?
Thanks. Just a quick question about the newsletters that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What's the dissemination of the newsletters?
I share it with all five municipal on the comm side. We also have, anytime that we do an outreach presentation, we also ask residents if they want to be put on the newsletter. So anybody like that who has given us their name, they can also add their name through our website. So it goes out to them. And Rebecca, does it go on our website? Just correct me. Actually it does. I know it does because I share it with Sarah. Yeah, so it also goes on our website on the main page under articles. So it's going out in a variety of different ways.
And its purpose is primarily?
Just education. So in the ones that we did this year, we talked about pet preparedness, hurricanes, generators, and wildfires. So it's really just another form of public education so that there's something going out. For the municipality of Lunenburg and town of Bridgewater, they have their own the bridge and municipal matters. So both of those entities just run our whole article in the quarterly. Town of Mahone Bay generally takes a bit of it and puts it into theirs when they have it. I don't think you, Town of Lunenburg, has a newsletter. Do they? Okay. So
Jamie does receive it. Yeah, we've been putting it out more recently. Okay, perfect.
Yep. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for that. Now you're saying it, I do think I saw parts of it in there. And then who am I missing? Town of Mahone Bay, Town of Bridgewater, Town of Lunenburg. Yeah, that's Chester. I don't think Chester has a quarterly newsletter.
Yeah, not we do. Here. We go out. I think ours is actually every 2 months.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So it does get sent to Jen. I'm not sure if she picks any of it up, but it gets sent out to the five municipal units. It's just a way that it allows people to have some more education. And we just continually take a new topic and write it for each quarter. Yeah. And then it allows the comms folks to not have to write something from an emergency perspective. We'll just write it and they can share.
Yeah, I just didn't recognize it as such. I've probably seen the info and just didn't. Yeah.
Nope, not at all. That's a great question. Thanks. Any other questions? Okay, moving into the grants. So just as a reminder, the province has rolled out with these new standards a four-year grant process. So the first year, which was this current fiscal year that we're in, 25-26, it's based upon $20,000 per municipal unit that is in REMO. So for us, we get $100,000. Our offset is $25,000. And then next year, so next fiscal year is the exact same. It's $100,000 that we'll get. We have to put in $25,000. And then the third year, it's a 50-50 split. And then the fourth year, we put in $75,000 and they put in $25,000. So with regard to that, we've for this current fiscal year and when the grant rolls out for 26-27, we're front loading the heavy costs while we get the most support from them. And anything that hasn't been done, we had agreed that we'll put it through as Rebecca's position from the staffing. And this was already presented to the previous REMAC as we were going through it, so for awareness. But I just wanted to remind people where we're at. So this current grant we put in for ECC upgrades in Chester with regard to the TMR and satellite antennas, and that's well on the way. Bruce has been leading that for us, and it'll be installed before March 31st. We need to get a phone line in both of the main and alternate ECC. So the two ECCs, we need to get a Bell line and a Eastlink line. And then we've also put in for a consultant for training revamp. So as we move now into the budget itself, we've got the variety of categories. So in training and travel, we've got anything to do with travel, professional development, the ECC training and mock exercises. Under administration, we've got staffing and the salaries and benefits, office expenses, radio equipment, insurance, general advertising, and the host office rental and services. In projects, we've got the Emergency Preparedness Week. This year, every 2 years, we do the large expo, so that's this year coming. We've got public presentations and outreach, the emergency management grant projects, offset, and the potential donated generator project and advertising. Under grants and contingency, we've got the ground search and rescue and any contingency that we have while we are activated for things. And then the incoming, we now have a revenue line for $100,000 this year for the grant. So under the proposed budget, this column is current 25-26, and this is the 26-27, so our proposed budget for next year. So the difference this is what would have been presented last year. If you would have compared documents, just for awareness, it would have shown $406,000, the original budget. And that was because in the final stages, we added the 33% of the community readiness coordinator from Chester. So the actual budget is $435,000. In 2026-27, it's going to be increasing up to $480,000, but we're offsetting it with the $100,000 grant. So it's actually $380,000 put back to municipalities. So there's some change here. And I can do the budget comparison unless you want have questions at this point before we move on.
Questions on this part?
Okay. So when I presented it to the CAOs, this is 24-25. This is our current fiscal year, the 25-26. I was asked to do a comparison using the 25-26 formula, just for awareness purposes, as to what it would have been for each municipality if we used the same rather than the new formula that's in the governance document. So comparatively, what's on your slide and what's in your presentation document is the breakdown. However, if we look at the new slide, this actually shows based upon the new governance document. So some councils had wanted the breakdown as to what it would have been if it was using the old formula. This is now using the new formula, which is 20% base plus the remainder is uniform assessment. So the municipality of Lunenburg goes to 165,000, Chester to 108, Bridgewater to 51, Lunenburg to 31, and Mahone Bay to 23. So, opening for any questions.
Questions on this, folks? Silence is golden.
Yeah. So then I'd be looking for a motion, if possible, to proceed, and keeping in mind that we've changed the structure this year in that we will propose to take it back to the units for discussion. So a letter will come out from the municipality over to the, to the five units for discussion. Once those five come back to us, REMAC will likely have a special council meeting in order to share any feedback or discussion for adjustments. And then that will provide a motion for it to go back to the five councils for final approval.
Perfect. Jamie, do you have a question?
I'll just move that motion that's in front of us unless you want me to read it.
I'm good if I always want to check with staff to make sure there's some
it's to move that the REMO draft 25-26 be presented to partner units for discussion and feedback to the REMO advisory committee for final discussion deliberations.
Yeah, moved by
7.1.2
in front of you. Yeah, okay. Moved. Do we have a seconder?
I will.
Okay, thank you, Suzanne. Further discussion on this? Hearing none, all those in favor, either say hi or raise your hand because I can't see everyone's camera. Those opposed? Hi. Motion is carried. Thank you. And thanks for everyone's work on how that's flowing. So that's good. Down to search and rescue financial statements that were in your package.
Yeah, that always is provided because we give them the grant. There's not usually a discussion. They're asking for the same amount of money as they got last year, so I've included that into the budget as well.
Okay. I don't know if there's any questions on that. Okay, and then you've got a little note for there's March 16th training.
Yeah, so on March 16th, which is our next scheduled REMO advisory meeting, part of that meeting will go toward doing some state of local emergency training, just so that we're all aware. We're going to try to do this twice per council session, so that their awareness is there before we need to actually declare state and local emergencies, in the hopes that we never have to, touch wood, declare any, but at least it goes through the process. There was discussion at the CAOs to potentially do a full-scale meeting with all five municipal units. However, it was decided that we'll start it here. We have done it in the past where all five municipal units have been invited. But generally speaking, it's the mayors and wardens that will be leading it, and their deputies. So we thought to start it at least at this discussion. So next meeting, we'll have the topics of the agenda, and then part of it will go into state and local emergency training.
Okay. That's good.
That's always
good to have. Yeah,
thank you.
I don't know if there's any questions on that. Okay, your updates, and then we had the added item that you had.
Yeah, I'll go through some of my updates just really quickly. We've already talked about the communications team, so we're working on trying to keep the public informed. We've now got 58 staff from across the units assigned to REMO, so we're going through training with them and just kind of getting them embedded into the REMO system. So I thank the CAOs for really pulling their staff together to support REMO from that aspect. It'll allow us to give us at least three, if not more, shifts, so we're allowing staff more rest time. We've talked enough about DEM standards. There's multiple staff and CAOs attending that meeting, so we'll be well represented. Under the training and exercising side, we had two ICS courses, one for firefighters and one for municipal staff. We've participated in an exercise at Ryan Hall in Shoreham Village on the CARE side. And we locally held our first ever scribe training, so that we've got some staff to support in the coordination center. And then in the afternoon, we had an exercise for everybody. Under the education and outreach side, we've started something called Emergency Management Mondays, where each month is going to have a topic. So this month was comfort centers and shelters. And each Monday, then there's a small, brief, just educational piece that links well with our newsletters. And Rebecca is taking the lead on that. And we're also going to be having some giveaways just to kind of get people aware of it. So anytime that you're seeing anything on Mondays, feel free to share it to your partners. And we share it obviously with our comms team, and then our Go Rock community radio partner is picking it up as well. Saturday, May 9th is going to be our Emergency Management Expo for this year. So it aligns with Emergency Preparedness Week. It's going to be held at the exhibition grounds because we outgrew our space last time at the LCLC. And so we're supporting that. It's a free event, and you'll have lots of information in the future with regard to it. And in March, we're going to be hosting a presentation with organizations that support vulnerable residents. We did this about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it went over very well. And so we'll be continuing to do that twice per year is what our intention is. Under stakeholder engagement, we've got two upcoming sessions with vulnerable sector and how we can support them during emergencies. And then also we're continuing to work with the accessibility coordinator to align. And we're ensuring that all of our information officers also have the plain language training. So lots been going on with REMO. That's all for my updates. Any questions?
Questions, folks? No? Okay, great, quick and painless. And so you have your added item there.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw some stuff up on the screen, if everybody can see that. So we, at the last, one of the last meetings, we had expressed that we were, part of the grant was going to put in for $25,000 for a consultant to come in for under an expression of interest to help support in the training and take the information that's the incident command system, but really make it usable from an emergency and municipal perspective, because it's very different being on scene versus in the coordination center. So we received 6 responses. One was incomplete, so we've looked at 5 of them. We budgeted $25,000. However, the range for submissions ranged between $59,000 to $300,000. The highest score went to the second lowest price. And after reviewing, what we've looked at and we're proposing is to make some changes to it. We would probably break this now, just knowing what the cost of things are that they came back, into 2 years and parceling it into the two grants that we received from the province. So the first year in the 25, so our current budget, rather than allocating 25,000 from the DEM grant, we would allocate 36,000 of it, which is still due at the end of this fiscal. And then the course delivery, we always had the deliverable was to be in August, but rather than putting it into this grant, we're going to have to push it to the next grant. The training and exercise would go into the next grant. And then we're going to omit the online training modules, because what workaround to do that would be just to video the class instruction of it and posting them up for staff if they either are new staff coming in or they want a refresher. So changes to the grant is really just in three categories. The first, the middle column is what was proposed and in the submission, and the final is where our adjustment is. So it's still meeting the $100,000, but it's just an adjustment. Under the ECC training, we're going to go from 25,000 up to 36. These ones all stay the same. We did have significant savings. We had estimated $40,000 for the TMR and sat phone. That was based upon when we installed it in the municipality of Lunenburg. However, the quote has already come in and we've approved it for $15,000. So we've got quite a significant savings there. And then the remainder will go to staff, so that we're still utilizing the whole $100,000. It's just an adjustment to it. So long as advisory is okay with that, we'd like to take that perspective. And all of this is well embedded into our budget, so there's nothing changing within it. It's just the adjustment within the budget and how we present it to DEM with regard to the grant.
Do we have questions, comments from folks? We're all good with this. Can't believe the range in your
neither could we. It was extremely, extremely interesting to see the range.
Okay.
I don't think I need a motion for this because it's already embedded into the budget.
If it's in the budget, then it'll be part of our budget discussion. All right, I think we're good. All right. That we're at the end. Our next meeting is March 16th, where there will be some state of local emergency training. And this will be, again, budgets will be coming to your councils for discussion, feedback, and then back to us for final approval after we get that input. So if there's nothing else.
David, if I might just comment on one thing. Once we get those that the five councils have reviewed the budget, we will have to have a short special meeting just to see if there were any changes requested, and then have a motion to go back to the five councils for final deliberation. So you might see a email coming through once we get the five councils discussion originally, so that we don't have to wait till the March 16th.
That makes sense.
Okay. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. If there's nothing else, can I have
a
motion?
Let's all go shovels. I'll make that motion adjourn the meeting and go shovel snow.
Yeah, we got work to do. All right. Thank you. Do I have a seconder? All right, Braden. Okay, thank you. We are adjourned, folks. Stay safe. Stay off the roads. Thanks, Angela and Rebecca.